Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I want to thank you for joining me today. Today I'm broadcasting from Florida. I'm here visiting my kids for a few weeks for the Christmas holiday. It's also my son's graduation from college tonight, and it's my daughter's birthday today. And my grandson has a Christmas program in about an hour and a half. And so I've changed the time on this show from the original so that I could get ready for his Christmas program. Anyway, I want to thank you for being here because this program is like no other program in Christian media. You're not going to find anything like it because I don't deal with what the status quo is in the American Christian church, which is having to do with what you know we can get from God and how we go about doing that, because it's all about doing something for Him to be able to receive something from Him. And I call that the performance-based, behavior-based gospel. Paul calls it the different gospel, and you can look it up in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4. And he again speaks of it in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And he not only calls it the different gospel, but he goes so far in Galatians to say that it's no gospel at all. And that's a real, you know, strong judgment against what is out there in 99.9% of the settings that we call quote-unquote church today, saying that it's no gospel at all, because the word gospel means good news. So he's saying what you think is good news, what you've been calling good news, isn't good news. It's the same thing as Jesus saying the light that you call light is really darkness. And if you go over Matthew chapter 6, 22 to 24, you'll find him saying exactly that. So that's something that if I was a believer, and if I was sitting in a pew for 20, 30, 40 years, like so many people have been today and are today, I would want to know the real truth. And the real truth is John 15, 5, where Jesus refers to himself as the vine, and he refers to us, his body, he refers to us as the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. So when you look at a tree, you don't see a tree and call it a vine branch or a trunk branch. It's all one, it's all one entity. It's called the tree, and it contains the vine and the branches, and the fruit and the leaves and whatever else is contained in that tree. And so Jesus is saying, "I'm the vine, you're the branch. We're one. We're connected. There's no separation between us." He wants us to know that we don't have to, we're not here calling out to the God up there. He came as the reconciler. That means he's reconciling. He's bringing together all things in him. Everything separated, everything divided, everything that's a product of Genesis chapter 3. Jesus came to expose, because when the enemy made that promise in Genesis 3 to the couple, to Adam, he said, "You will be like God, and your eyes will be open, and you will know good and evil." And that's exactly what happened. But the enemy didn't say that that he was the God that was going to be able to be prepared for what the implications of that would be, the repercussions of knowing good and evil. The repercussions for knowing good and evil for Adam was to go and hide from God. That was the repercussions of knowing good and evil. And the repercussions for us to know the separated God up there, the God of the God that lives in our heart and the God who lives in heaven, are the same exact thing. It's for us to go and hide. Because that God is who we've learned in the organized system called quote-unquote Christianity today, is the distant, impersonal, punishing God who demands some kind of work from us and some kind of servitude from us rather than just loving us as we are. That is the God of the different gospel. And so, you know, when you're living your life in your everyday stuff, and everybody has everyday stuff they're dealing with, whether that be a sickness of some kind or some kind of financial burden that you're carrying, you know, kids going crazy, relationships strained, broken. Everybody deals with that stuff every day. And so how do you deal with that when all you have is a performance-based dead letter? And what I mean by dead letter is Paul said it's the letter that kills. It's the performance-based law of trying to be a good Christian, which is actually an impossibility because there's only one person who is able to live the Christian life, and it's not you and it's not me. It's Jesus Christ. And how does he live that? He lives that by the revelation of John 15:5. And so many other verses in the Bible that the performance-based teachers know little to nothing about, even though they've been trained by their Gamaliels, they've been trained by their seminaries in the same way the Apostle Paul was trained by his. And look what happened to the Apostle Paul. I mean, he wasn't even Paul, he was Saul. He was a whole different identity before he came to know Jesus Christ. And if you're walking in another identity other than the identity of who you are in Christ, you're walking as a house divided against yourself. You're what James says in James chapter 1, unstable in all of your ways. And you're not able to live the Christian life, and you're not supposed to. So if your life is in chaos today and it's a mess by God's doing, because God has to undo what organized, systematic religion has done. And the way he does that is he uses the everyday of your life. Every day. Remember in Deuteronomy where the children of you know, in the wilderness, the 3 million plus on their 40-year journey that probably should have taken weeks, but God had a plan. And that plan was to take them into the one day at a time trust of who he was and to destroy every preconceived idea of who God was that they learned in captivity or they learned throughout their life that had to do with performance. So he brought them into the wilderness. It says in Deuteronomy 8, that he brought them into the wilderness. He tested them to show them what was in their heart, to see whether or not they would obey the Lord. And obedience today, there is no such thing as human obedience based on human performance or effort. The Bible, the New Testament goes lets us know the only obedience is the obedience of faith. And that faith is not the wishful thinking kind of faith that you learned from the false shepherds and the counterfeit gospel. The faith is the faith of the Son of God. It talks about in Galatians 2:20. And over again in Philippians, it mentions the faith of Christ. And so when you start out going north, how are you supposed to go south without turning? You can't. The only way you can go south once you're going north is to turn. And that's what that whole word repentance means. It means to go another direction. And so when you're walking in a direction that is error, which is what 99.9% of what is called Christianity today, it's error. It's error because it starts out wrong. And if you start out wrong, you're going to end up wrong unless there is a change in direction somewhere along the way. This is why most believers today have no clue as to who they are in Christ. They have no clue as to what to embracing what Paul talks about all the way through all of his letters, and he calls it the message of the cross. He says in Philippians 2:13 that this message is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us. Well, who are the us? Well, Jesus talks about the us when he says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life. And he says, few there are who find it. Paul is talking about the few like him, you know, on his everyday road. And God knocks him down. God takes him down and blinds him physically so that his eyes are open spiritually for the first time. So much so that his whole identity undergoes a transformation, that his name is changed. You know that new name written down in glory? The new name is Christ in you. That's what that new name is. There is no other name under heaven or under earth that has any kind of bearing, any kind of authority than Jesus Christ. And so the new name that Paul was given is Christ in Saul, Paul. And so you're today dealing with what you're dealing with, whatever it is. You're going along your way, and all of a sudden you're knocked to the ground by a blinding light. And the church has told you that this light is evil because it doesn't have to do with your comfort or your ease. It doesn't have to do with the increase of your bank account. It doesn't have to do with you being healthy and wealthy all the time. And so you're wondering what it is because it's not supposed to be this way according to what you have learned over the course of your life, when in reality it's exactly what is supposed to happen. Psalm 66, verses 8 through 12, is a perfect microcosm of what real Christianity is. It's David crying out, and he says, for you, O God, tested us. You refined us as silver is refined. How is silver refined? Heat. It's refined by heat, by a continual turning up of the heat so that the impurities can rise to the top, so that the smelter can look into the silver and see his own reflection. That is what the refining process is. And so David says, you refined us as silver is refined. That's one area of trial he's talking about, heat. He says, you brought us into prison. You laid oppressive burdens on our back. You know that verse that says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, weighed down? That's what it's talking about. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Have you ever seen the size of a yoke of, say, a couple of wildebeest or a water buffalo or one of those animals, those beasts of burden? Have you ever seen the size of the yoke that is around their necks? I was in Minnesota a long time ago, coming back from a day at the lake, and there was a flea market on the side of the road, and I stopped in there with my my kids at that time, and now my ex-wife. And this guy had this huge apparatus laying on this table, and I tried to lift it up. I mean, it was monstrous, and it had this big steel U-bolt around it, or wooden U-bolt around it, with the steel bolt going through it to hold it in place. And it was a yoke for a beast of burden, for plowing a field, or whatever they used it for, some kind of work. And Jesus says that yoke that you're carrying around is that lie that you're still yoked to something other than me, that you're still yoked to a life of behavior and performance. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think it's Matthew 10:28 or 11:28. It's one of those. So back to Psalm 66, he says, for you refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into prison and laid oppressive burdens on our backs. And he says, you let men ride over our heads. That's not only humility, that's humiliation. That's what Jesus endured when he stood before Pilate, when he was beaten, when he was flogged, when he was made, made fun of. You know, you're king of the Jews. You know, all of the things that happened that humiliated him. And what was his reaction? His reaction was love, because the lover, his father, he only did what he saw his father doing in him. And so when God passes by you with opportunity after opportunity, when God allows things to go over the top of you, you let men ride over our heads. You not only humbled us, but you humiliated us. You took us to nothing. You refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into prison and laid oppressive burdens on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and we went through water. That's the tempering process. That's the process so that you're able to be used without breaking, without being crushed. You're able to be used by God as that sword of the Spirit, and so that other people who are blinded by the lie of the different gospel are able to see your life as it is today and the trials you're enduring, and see Christ in weakness and see him living his life in and through you, not in some kind of superficial victory. We experience what we go through. We feel the pain of the trial. We feel the pain of the broken relationship. Those things are real, okay? And so you don't have to be superficial. You don't have to try to act quote-unquote Christian, which is a complete joke. It's an illusion. There's no such thing as acting Christian, because the only one that's acting Christian is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you're hurting, that's you acting Christian. If you're depressed, that's you being a Christian. If you're going through the fire right now and it hurts, that's you being a Christian. Being a Christian has nothing to do with anything except seeing Jesus Christ as your only way, truth, and life. That's it. And so back to Psalm 66, David says, we went through fire and water. And then he says, you brought us out into a place of abundance. And that starts out, bless the Lord, in Psalm 66, verse 8. Bless the Lord our God. That's maturity for somebody that is going into that kind of a life and believing that really is real Christianity for others. That's the mature response. And we don't always have it all of the time, and that's okay, because that's part of the process too. I don't have it all the time. I'm going through a lot right now in my personal life. I mean, I've got kids here in Florida that You know, by the world's standards, they're not living the way they should be. But by God's standards, they're living exactly the way they should be, because the grace of God is all that is working in their life. When you look at the prodigal son, that is a picture of every man. That's not just a picture of your kids that are out there going crazy. That's a picture of every human being. What's inside every human being, and that is that desire to run from God. It's ingrained. It's part of the Genesis 3 fall, where we got to know that good and evil that that happened when they partook of the tree. Because right there, choice was birthed in mankind. Choice was never before that moment. All there was God only. Only God, only now. Adam walking in the cool of the day, and the Spirit of God living his life. And from that moment, choice came into the picture. And with choice came confusion. And James says confusion and every evil work in James 3:16. But it's not the evil that we've been taught that has to do with evil behavior or evil performance. Like all of these evil people out there that aren't Christians, which is pure BS. The only evil that Jesus Christ recognizes is duality, separation, and division, and seeing anything but him as life. That's the only evil. He knows our frame. He knows we're made out of dust. Isaiah, when I was a trucker, my handle was dusty because in one passage in Isaiah, I can't remember where it is, God calls Isaiah son of dust. And that's who we are. We're son of dust. There is nothing apart from Christ. In John 15:5, that's what it says. It says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, and your words and my words abide in you, then ask whatever. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we can do nothing apart from him, then what is all of this quote unquote ministry going on today around us? The hundreds of thousands, millions of churches, multiple millions, billions of believers out there struggling with their identity, not knowing, not having a clue as to who they are in Jesus Christ, because you're never going to hear this message in any organized system. Men are still the authority. It's never going to happen. The heart, the flesh, the heart that is set on the flesh is at enmity with God, and it cannot do the things of God, nor does it want to. It can do the things it calls the things of God all day long. It can put up with this different gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11:3 and 4, Paul said, you put up with it easily enough. He says it's a different Jesus, it's a different spirit, and it's a different good news. It's not the good news of Jesus Christ as your life. And there is no other good news. You know, you can look at the account of Jesus Christ and you can see how the accolades came and how he was called a good teacher and master and rabbi and all of the good things that he was called until this thing came, until what I'm about to say came out of his mouth. And that is, I and my Father are one. When you begin to proclaim the oneness of Christ in you, you will find that persecution is alive and well in your life. you'll find that there is a real enemy, although he has been disarmed and made a public spectacle of and stripped of the keys of death and hell, which is the only power he ever had. You'll find that the lies are prevalent, and they're so prevalent that they seem really real, and that God has to take you through that wilderness journey that I shared in Deuteronomy 8 to grow us up, to grow us up in him so that we can discern from, you know, what's real and what isn't. And so today you're dealing with stuff. You're dealing with a loss of a job and maybe the loss of your house. We came close to losing our house. I've lost so many jobs I can't even begin to. I've lost my health. I've lost my relationship with my children for years upon years. Lost. And Paul, he talks about that. He calls it, you know, he says, I count all things as loss in comparison to knowing Christ. That's the paraphrase. That's what he says. Knowing, not just knowing about, not knowing the 7 steps to victory or the 10 steps to Christian maturity, but having a real, living, breathing, everyday, sometimes not being happy with God relationship, which he's okay with, by the way. He understands that in our humanity, as he takes us from glory to glory, which is weakness to weakness, as he takes us from weakness to weakness, that we are going to react as the humans that we are. And we're going to run to self-preservation because that's what we do. And I don't care what maturity level you're in, let God turn the heat up far enough and you will run to self-preservation. And so what do you do with that? What can you do? First of all, you've got to know that you're loved right now where you're at. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. God loves you right now, right here, and he couldn't love you anymore. And the reason I know that is because I've experienced. And so the other thing is you got to know that he's never going to abandon you. And you release your life to God, you take your place resting in him, and you get ready to receive the next thing. And you call it God, whatever it is, the trial, the tribulation, you call it God. You no longer see a separated and divided Jesus Christ. You see Christ living in you as you, and you let him live his life and let him take you to the next thing, whatever that is. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I do this every week, doing it a different time and a different day today because of my real life. And I want to thank you for being here. Father, I just ask that you unstop the ears and open the eyes of those who are listening today, that they can know you in that sense, God, with that intimacy. They can know that they're loved, and they can know that you're never going to walk away from them, and that they can know and be assured that you're taking them to the next thing, whatever that is, and they don't have to perform. They don't have to walk in perfect behavior. They can walk in humanity and be comfortable. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again, and I'll be here again next week, God willing. God bless you.